now calling together an oversight for the Senate of the Associated Students in session on Wednesday, March 9th, 2022 at 11:03 a.m. First, we have roll call.
Speaker Shine.
Present.
Parliamentarian Gavon.
Present.
Senator Kitt.
Present.
Senator Fitzpatrick.
Present.
Senator Ramirez.
Present.
Senator Roundtree.
Present.
Senator No.
Party excused.
Senator Shamim.
And excused.
Here for.
Awesome. We're going to get into item three, public comment. Any public comment? Q. We're going to move down for reports. This is agenda item four. Does anyone have reports that they want to share specifically? I know that like a lot's going on right now, so if you guys don't want to share a report, you don't have to.
Yeah, I got you. So I met with the assistant dean of libraries this morning. Our 24-hour study space is happening. It got approved yesterday by provost, so that's so exciting. I personally didn't work on the project, but it is something that senators from my committee have been working on, so I just want to share on their behalf. It was proposed for 2 weeks, and I can't remember the specific dates, but it's supposed to start the Monday before dead day and continue on for 2 weeks from there. So that's okay. I'm going to let you on.
Let the minutes reflect that Senator No joined the meeting at 11:04 a.m. Is there any other reports that anyone wanted to give specifically? Cool. We're going to move down into new business, as there is no old business today, starting with Senator attendance reviews. It says the committee shall discuss the attendance of the senator listed below. The senator may provide evidence in favor of dismissing their points. After this, the committee may then discuss dismissal of points or make curative recommendations to the speaker. At this point, I move to pass the gavel to Parliamentarian Gavon.
I accept. All right. So with this business, do we don't have a charge sheet, do we?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So Senator Bowling, you now have the floor to make a case for dismissing the points.
Okay. Thank you. Reviewing the points, the dates that I received points for were February 9th, February 11th, and February 15th. And part of the outreach period was also for that. And during this time, I was extremely sick. And I have the dates that I went to the health center, and as well as like my insurance provider, Kaiser, as well, for like appointments and to get tested for COVID, to get tested for strep, to try and figure out what was wrong. The test came back negative for each one. But I got tested on February 3rd. Yeah, February 3rd, February 9th. And then I also got tested on January 27th the first time. And that was when I wasn't feeling sick. But the next day I was feeling sick. And that's why I didn't go to retreat as well. So I wasn't there. And basically, I was sick for like 2 weeks, which is why I missed a lot of these meetings. And yeah.
Speaker Schein.
I just want to say, so that everyone here knows why I passed the gavel, and we're not going to make a public record. But I will say that these points, the reason I didn't just clear them, aside from that conflict of interest, is there has been some problems this entire session and historically of actually like notifying senators when they have received points. And so inside of that, in the statutes, it says that a senator has, I believe, 1 week to appeal points to me. That process was not followed in any way. Both Senator Bowling was not notified of the points. I didn't know that she had these points until it was sent to me. I think that me and Wyatt tallied it too late. But all that being said, it does say in the statutes and the Senate rules, I believe it says, under outreach, that outreach will be determined by the Committee on Oversight. So that's why we're here today. The committee has the power to dismiss points if they want to. If I had been more proactive in this, I definitely would have dismissed the points. Everyone here knows that, like, if you're sick, like, I don't give you points or stuff. But I just wanted to be more transparent about this process, so there was no concerns about anything. That's just my little piece.
Senator Kidd?
Can we get emailed the points memo?
Yeah,
so we can look at those dates real quick.
While Jake's getting that ready, now that we've heard the case, we'll move into a time of discussion, whether it be to dismiss these points or not to dismiss these points, and then also someone can make a motion to recommend another punitive measure that could be, you know, adding extra outreach or what have you. But that's kind of up to our discretion. There's not a set in stone way to determine that. But yeah, no. Do we have any
word it to you guys?
It sounds like the case is like pretty solid, and I think that like when you don't know what points you have, it's hard to like say like, hey, I really was sick that day, whatever. And there's doctor's notes, and there seems to be a lot of proof in insurance. So it doesn't really seem like this has been like an issue in other cases this semester where like she wasn't able to like do her outreach or make meetings. It seems like this is like a one case scenario, and it sucks because like when you're sick, sometimes you're sick for a long time. So there was like multiple things, which is like why the points seem to like have accumulated. But I really feel like it's something that like needs to be dismissed, and I don't even know what measures we would add on for like the future, because it doesn't seem like it's something that was consistent. It seems like it was like a one scenario type thing.
Senator Kidd.
So through parliamentarians too, Senator Bowling, did you notify, I know you were sick, but were you able to notify any of the chairs of any of these absences before they happened, or?
Unfortunately, no. That's something that like I wish I had done, but again, being sick, it was genuinely like I wasn't feeling well most of the time. I probably slept through it and then just never ended up following up. I was more worried about like trying, like it was kind of a confusing process. I had to go back to California to go through Kaiser to be put on antibiotics, and it was just like an unnecessary, overwhelming process.
Did Speaker Shine have something?
I was gonna just clarify that looking at the charge sheet or the points memo, I sent it to you guys if you wanna pull it up. I think it'd be good to clarify for the committee perhaps which points specifically you want to appeal to the committee, if there's any of those you think should be justified, if there's any of those you think should be unjustified. The dates are listed on there for everyone, just so everyone's on the same page. AUE stands for absent unexcused. TUE stands for tardy unexcused. That one I'm assuming you hopped on a Zoom or something like that if you were in California. And then looking for the outreach period from 127 to 223, that would consist of two separate outreach periods. So I'm assuming you missed 2 hours during one outreach period and 4 hours during another outreach period. Is that accurate? Yeah.
Yeah, it was, well, because I had also reached out to you, Speaker Shine. It just wasn't a formal email. I had said, I've been super sick the last 2 weeks. I don't have a medical note, but I have a receipt of my visit that I can send over, and like explaining why I wouldn't be at Senate. You asked me for a report, and then I emailed you a report, and then I also followed up saying I don't have outreach because I've been super sick as well. It just wasn't a formal email according to the SAS.
Senator Kidd.
So just for clarification, you're wanting to get all of these removed, right?
Just like mainly the outreach period for 127 to like that 2 week period, because that was that was when I was sick and didn't do outreach, and then as well as the 9th absence and the 15th.
Senator Kidd.
So I personally think that we should be dismissed. I mean, a lot of times with sickness, like, you can't control that. You have no idea when it's going to come on. And a lot of times when you get symptoms, that's your body reacting to it already inside of you. So I completely understand the oversleeping, the not being, like, mentally there. I get it. And, I mean, I don't know. I'm fine with dismissing them. I just don't know the formal process of doing that.
So I think what we would do is just someone makes a motion to dismiss either all the points or if you want to do specific points, and then gets a second, and then we'll vote on it. Senator Kidd?
I move to dismiss Senator Bowling's points from 0209 SSW AUE, 0215 DEI AUE, and 0127 to 0223, 6 hours outreach missing.
Is there a second?
Second.
All right. There's no further discussion. We will move into a vote. This vote is to dismiss the points for Senator Bowling for the aforementioned instances Senator Kidd brought up. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions?
Okay.
With that, the points are dismissed. I now move to pass the gavel back to Speaker Shea.
Thank you. Just get back to the agenda really quick.
Can I just make a quick comment? So I also agree with the committee in the sense that like outreach is hard to do when you're sick, so I completely understand that. Also, this is reflected in the DCE minutes for February 11th, but the 11th one should be an absence unexcused. That's how it is on the minutes. I'm not going to debate that right now, but I think that maybe like a quote-unquote punitive measure that we could take as a committee is maybe just like whether we want to have this conversation right now or at a future oversight meeting about just like talking about your specific contributions to these respective committees that you've missed and maybe like what you've done to catch up with it or kind of like your state of how you're doing with those committees, because like that is a lot of committee time that's missed. And like I don't know, like whether it be like business of certain committees, that there's like probably a lot to get done, and like I just having that accountability of like catching up when you're gone, I think is something that we should talk about. So is that something that we're all open to?
Mm-hmm. Sorry, go on.
I also agree. Maybe Senator Boland could come into oversight after spring break, because I know that you also have had a lot of legislation that you're trying to get through, a lot of those projects like the grieving legislation. So that may be good to get updates on before we wrap things up for the session.
Senator Boland, would you like to respond?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Cool. Any further comments? Awesome, thank you guys so much for that. Sick. I like clapping. We're going to move into oversight officer review. It says the committee will hear reports from other officers in the association. The committee may then discuss or make recommendations. And today we have Director Resnick from Ledge Affairs. You'd been invited almost a month ago now. I think we've been trying to make this happen.
Yeah.
Conflict of schedules. But I think originally there was some questions about the DC trip, kind of what you guys are doing there. We'd love to hear about it. I know some of it, just like heard about it from that like cabinet and stuff like that. But I think the committee would love to hear about that, as well as you guys had a lot of initiatives over the last few months for like voter registration and stuff like that that we'd love to hear about. And then obviously anything else we have prepared or anything the committee wants to ask.
Okay. Well, I will sort of just wing it, since I wasn't entirely sure what questions I was going to be responding to. In regards to the DC trip, the tickets are for this Monday, so we will be spending our spring break in DC in order to lobby on behalf of our students. There are three bills in particular that we're going there to support, which I believe have gone through DCE resolutions in support of. Those include the Income-Driven Student Loan Forgiveness Act, the Student Food Insecurity Act, and the BASIC Act. Student Food Insecurity Act, the big thing about that is it includes the second that provides a $5 million grant for institutions that are combating food insecurity on their campus, which is something we'd love to see here at UNR, so ideally they can use that to put towards building something like a grocery store on campus, so that our students aren't having to hike across, half of town and, through areas of questionable safety in order to get access to affordable food. The Income-Driven Student Loan Forgiveness Act forgives your loans if you make less than $100,000 or $200,000 if you are married, and that's like your combined family income, right? And then the BASIC Act puts money towards basic needs for students, and that includes housing, food, transportation, all the things that we are constantly trying to address. It's kind of just like a catch-all sort of bill that we're trying to push forward. The goal is to get our delegation to sponsor these bills or co-sponsor these bills, because at the moment, some of them just don't have big name sponsorships that could possibly get them more attention and actually move through committees and eventually move to the Senate House floors. So that's what we're trying to do, is just draw attention. I think the Food Insecurity Act has a really good shot of potentially getting a sponsorship from our delegation, just because it's something that I feel is a lot easier to push through in such a polarized legislature like our House and Senate. The other ones we're going to be trying anyways with all members of the Nevada delegation, but whatever happens, happens. We're there to try to push the needle as much as possible. Additionally, we will be meeting with some ASUN alumni, both to discuss how we can best work and achieve our lobbying efforts while we're there, such as Kate and Fabi. I think we're going to try to meet with Hannah Jackson. But the big goal is just work with them to try to get our presentations for our lobbying as effective as possible. The initiatives we've done over the past few months. Our voter registration, if you all remember from my reports in Senate, forever ago, we got roughly 100 registered voters on campus with the help of other groups that were registering voters for National Voter Registration Day. Great numbers for a college campus, considering the vast majority of students were already registered or, you know, like they get registered in high school, something like that. The upcoming events that we have include Pizza with Politics. We're looking at inviting a number of politicians from across the aisle, different levels of government, to come speak, have pizza, do a sort of town hall panel thing. And then we have two events that our interns are working on. One is going on, I think, like right about now. Let's talk about sex. They're in the KC Breezeway if you want to go see them after this. But the other big one is the Empower Women. We're trying to invite a lot of our, you know, female politicians from the state to come speak to, you know, women to, like, get them motivated and, like, advise them, mentor them or something to help them get involved in politics, you know, because at the moment, women are not accurately represented in our political space. So those are our big initiatives with that. In terms of other work we've been working on, I myself have been spending a lot of time working on the student board regent legislation. Well, not the legislation itself, that's Senator No, but working with the other institutions, members of NSHE, speaking with them, lobbying with them to show them why we need to do it the way we need to do it. Because at the moment, like for instance, when we were in Vegas this past weekend, you know, trying to work with the presidents of other institutions, a lot of them were prepared to just go to the regents and be like, hey, we want this, which we know, we already know the answer that the regents are going to give us. It's going to be, oh, well, why don't we just do this instead? Which is not a student member of the board with voting power. It's like an advisory committee or something that, you know, tries to appease us without actually giving us what we need. And, you know, taking the time to really accurately communicate that with the other institutions to get the support of NSA was a really big goal for me personally while I was down there. Of course, there were other things, but I think they're kind of secondary. Sorry, were there other questions that I haven't answered yet?
No, those were the main two I asked.
Okay. Like, I can ramble. Yeah.
Senator Kidd.
So, with our upcoming odd year of the Nevada legislature meeting, is there anything that you are prepping for the future department to do, to take
over? Yeah, absolutely. So throughout the semester, we've been meeting with members of our delegation to try to get a better idea of why AB 382, which was the Student Loan Borrowers Bill of Rights, didn't pass. At the end of the day, it came off as very political, and also due to the fact that a lot of these big business loan companies, like Sallie Mae and Discover, actively lobbied against it. And then when time came for, you know, them to try to adjust the bill to, you know, make it a little more in the middle, they just stepped away and didn't say anything about it. So, you know, they kind of came to the table, walked away without finishing the deal. So we've been working to try to find a new legislator to carry a new iteration of that bill in the next session. Obviously, that's going to be very dependent on what the House or the Assembly and the Senate look like. But I think we may have a member of the Assembly who is running for re-election who is looking to carry this bill. We still need to meet with them, but there's hopes. And of course, everything that we've been working on, I've been, you know, keeping track of just so that way we can update the successor department with the information we have, our contacts, and you know, who they need to speak to in order to carry the torch.
Thank you.
Yes, Mary, no.
To the speaker, to Director Resnick, so just in terms of the priorities that you presented to DCE and what that's detailed in the legislation for this session, I was just kind of wondering, do you have a reflection on that, whether, like, what priorities have you most focused on, or has any changed or, like, gone in new directions, and how do you expect to, like, carry those forward in the next session if you hope to continue those values?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, there was 9 priorities laid out in the legislative priorities legislation, or 10, one of the two. I want to say 9. 3 of them have been the primary focus of what we do, and you can see that reflected mostly in what we're going to DC for. The reason we focus in on food insecurity, student housing, and the affordability of education, or, you know, stuff related to student loans, has a lot to do with the fact that this is what presented itself as things we could tackle as an association. It's important to keep in mind we are a student government. There's only so much we are able to accomplish, and a lot of what we're able to accomplish has to do with who we can provide the sort of testimony for at higher levels to influence. And these three things were definitely that. I think for the future, it might be beneficial for the Committee on DCE and the Senate as a whole to, in general, narrow down legislative priorities. I know there's like a lot of issues, but I think it's important that they have a very concise list of what they think they can actually address. You know, because we had a lot of things on there. Realistically, there's not much we could have done about them. Like, yes, they're very important, but when it comes to what the Department of Legislative Affairs is tasked with tackling and trying to accomplish, it's very limited in what can be accomplished. So I guess that's my thought, is maybe narrow the list down for the future.
Further questions? Awesome. I just want to say that I've been extremely proud to watch your department this session. Coming in, like, I was like, who is this guy? He's like older, like more military, like
old man. Yeah, that's me.
Totally tackled, like, sorry, maybe I should say that public record. You've totally tackled this like department and turned it into something really awesome. And you guys are going to DC, which is like, when I think of legislative affairs or assume government affairs, I think of a group that's lobbying on something, right? Like trying to push for change. And like, that's more than just a local level. That's more than just going to like the legislature, going to DC and actually doing that. And also I think like for your guys' professional development, which is like a huge part of ASUN, like now you and your entire department are gonna have gone to DC and actually lobbied on bills.
Yeah.
And that's so cool that you can like provide that experience for your department and the ASUN can expect like give you that experience.
No, thank you very much. I'm incredibly proud of my department. We've accomplished a shocking amount considering the fact that this is not a legislative year.
Yeah.
And the fact that I've gotten to see them all grow so much professionally, and you know, now they're getting ready to take the next steps, either in the association or outside of the association. I'm incredibly proud of them.
Cool. Is there any other comments for Legislative Affairs? Awesome. Thanks, Rob. Moving next, we're going to go to the outreach reports of senators. First, we're going to have Senator Gavon go.
Oh, okay. Hi, everyone. So, honestly, you've been kind of getting this report for the past couple weeks. All I've been doing is really just SAS cleanup and SAS cleanup legislation. In particular, I have a couple small bills that I'm going to try to work on, that I have been working on this past week and that I'm going to finish hopefully during spring break and bring to the committee. The one that I have gotten through and that's going to be in committee tomorrow is to update the hiring processes in the SAS, because there's a lot of discrepancies there that don't reflect both procedure and precedent. So that was a big one. And then I'm just going to look at just basically, I talked to the Attorney General about a lot of these things, and we were in agreement that they're very inconsistent. One of them is that the composition of the Senate is really out of whack, so we got to change that. Talked to Senator Noble about this one, is adding a parley duty to make them a legislation resource as well, because that's kind of what the job has evolved into. And there are just some other things, like I'm going to be working with Speaker Schein and Chair Fitzpatrick on timesheets, because there's a big section on timesheets in the SAS that we just don't use. The Attorney General is supposedly supposed to update the Constitution, but the Leg Clerk does, so that's another thing I'm going to be changing. And then one of the ones that I think is going to be really fruitful, I'm also working on with Speaker Schein and Chair Fitzpatrick on this, is the reports of officers on the website. You know, I think, it's unrealistic to assume that students are going to be able to make Senate meetings very often if it's difficult for us to make those meetings. We work here. So I think that's a big one for me, is just that level of transparency to know that student funds are actually going towards work. And so I hope that that gets implemented before the end of the session. But those are the big ones. There are small things as well, like name changes and such, but that's all just, I don't know, kind of housekeeping legislation. But if there's any questions, I'm happy to answer.
Senator Kidd?
Thank you for the report. So for that legislation that is supposed to be heard in GovOps tomorrow, was it sent to Senate? Because I don't remember it ever being on the agenda, and I know it has to be sent and then referred and then go back to Senate.
I sent it to Chair Fitzpatrick because she typically handles, as the chair, whether it go to Senate or to the committee, and that's what it decided. I didn't know if it has to go that way, but I just sent it to the chair as I'm required to do, and
It just went from there. But you guys can talk on that.
I might. So in the Senate rules, the way it's laid out is it talks about both committee pieces and it talks about the first reading, second reading. And the way it reads is that a committee piece can be read in, can just come straight from committee to Senate. It doesn't like clarify what a committee piece is. If it's something written by both a parliamentarian who's also the vice chair of the committee, and it's like very clearly GovOps related, I might consider that a committee piece. But also, like, that's probably a conversation we should have at GovOps tomorrow. I'm not totally sure how that would look. Because we've had committees before, like the bag tax legislation. Mm-hmm. If SSW just started that in committee, then sent it to Senate, like that would be appropriate, I would say.
I just think that we should stay consistent, just because for like the PAC Plaza legislation, well, that's pretty straightforward, like budgetary legislation, and I have to wait for the Senate meeting to get that first reading. So just for consistency purposes, I think that it should just be going through its usual procedure.
Let me pull up what it says. Senator Fitzpatrick.
That works for me. It was sent to my committee, so I put it on the, like, that's just like my job as chair. So I put it on the agenda. If anyone else is interested, this is what I've been telling people, please come to committee, please talk about it. It's like a big piece, so there's gonna be a lot of conversation, I'm assuming, to be had. And we can talk about how we wanna like proceed with steps with that piece. And then maybe like make some more like clarifications on like how pieces go through Senate. I think that those are things that like definitely need to happen. It could also be another piece of legislation that our committee can work on. It's just making sure that those things are clear. But I agree with you, and I think that that's just something that we need to be transparent about, and like make a decision as a whole body, and then move forward from there.
My guess is that it just was lost in procedure.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to find the rule on legislation. 27. Let's see. Yeah, I'm gonna have to talk to Asia about that. It says that all legislation shall be read twice, and such readings shall occur at different meetings. But it also says that legislation can be started by committees. So I will double check with Asia to see if we need to update the rules or how that's worked in practice. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just going to say we should further the discussion tomorrow in committee, but for consistency purposes, if like that's something that would probably need to be changed like document-wise before the piece would go through, or I mean after the piece would go through, but yeah, well, I think we should just continue the conversation.
At GovOps, yeah.
That sounds good.
I think there's going to be a lengthy discussion about all the pieces, like as we hope for every piece that goes through our committee, so I think it'll be a good discussion, and you can talk about procedural things, and hopefully Jake will have had a chance to talk to Asia about it, and we'll have like more clarity about what the next steps are.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm going to go back to the agenda. With that being said, is there further questions for Senator Gavon? Cool. We can now move into Senator Noel.
Hello, everybody. How are we doing this fine morning?
Good, how are you?
In desperate need of some more caffeine, but for now we're doing pretty good. So I won't keep you for terribly long. I'm sure most of you already know most of the legislation I've been working on because I make an effort to give a report every week at Senate just to keep y'all appraised of what I'm doing. But just to briefly run through and then I'll open it up to questions. First and foremost, I have two pieces of legislation going for Senate today. One is the one that I co-wrote with Senator No in support of the Basic Act, to support the Department of Legislative Affairs on their DC Action Day. I'm so excited to see that one go through and wish them the best of luck on their trip. And the second one, of course, is the one that Senator Shamim and I are writing together and presenting in tandem with Director Britt's department. in support of religious minorities. I'm personally very proud of that one as a Jewish person myself, and since I believe that one of our main blind spots for diversity, equity, and inclusion is towards religious minorities. Beyond that, I am also proudly working on a piece with Senators Bowling and Fitzpatrick. It's actually developed into a suite of pieces surrounding the new CARES project initiative on our campus. They're looking to open up a survivor center. Right now, I believe it's called the CARE Center, which is just perfect branding and naming. We're looking to make it a really cozy location, low pillows, soft environment. And we're also looking to do broader advocacy from that, since if we have a successful pilot program, it'll really allow myself and all the other senators on the piece to meaningfully advocate at a higher level to implement all the changes that we passed in the legislation from November. Beyond that, I am also currently in the very early stages of developing a piece with Senator Roundtree concerning advertisement for women's sports. This is an inequity that I have personally noticed as a fan of Nevada sports. Women just don't get as much attention as they deserve because women's athletics is a robust program. They train very hard for it, and I think that we owe them more as an association and a Senate body. Beyond that, Senator Gavon also stole my thunder just a teeny bit, but we are in fact also in the early stage of development something concerning the role of the parliamentarian. I personally believe that one of the main issues we have seen this session, obviously it hasn't been a huge problem for me, but many folks have come to me and said, I don't really know how to write a piece of legislation. I don't know how to write it, I don't know how to present it, I don't know how to go through the process of getting it passed. And that was a major stumbling block. I think that creating a designated position to assist with legislation in the future would be an invaluable addition to our association. I think the parliamentarian is kind of perfectly poised to do that with their previous job description already. And so I'm really looking forward. I was so glad to hear that Senator Gavon enthusiastically supports that one. I think it's going to be a wonderful piece. And the last piece of legislation that I currently have on my radar is one that I agreed to take on since Senator Ribeiro resigned, condemning the remarks made by Regent Patrick Boylan. Now, this is a very serious piece, which is why I felt that it was incredibly important to get everything right, because this was a very hasty and unfortunate comment that was made, and as such, our response must be the exact opposite. We must be careful, we must be measured, we must be reasonable, and we must be specific with our critique, and we need to make that critique if we truly represent these students. So I've been basically giving that piece, a glow up, and I also look forward to proposing my amendments to the Committee on Democratic Civic Engagement this Friday. Beyond that, I don't really have anything else on my radar unless I am leaving something out, but I would be now happy to answer any questions that the body might have.
Partly go on.
Through the speaker, to Senator Noble, thank you for all your hard work in the association. I guess my question is, you know, those are a lot of big entree legislation pieces, you know. Mm-hmm. So do you project that all that's gonna get through during this session, or are you planning that some of it's gonna overflow into the next because you'll be a senator as well?
That is a very reasonable question, Senator Gavon, because if really the session has taught me one thing, it's how to deal with non-closure as part of your life. All these issues that I've just listed, they're bigger than any one of us. And there are issues behind issues, and no matter what we do, it's not going to be solved by the time the 89th session is over. No matter what, we are going to have to keep fighting, keep working on all of them. Now, I can probably get all these pieces churned out by the end of the 89th. We still have time left. I think some people are forgetting that, but no, we have time left, and so I think I can churn most of these pieces out. But in terms of the work that we'll actually need to get done to make sure that we actually follow through with them, it's going to be much bigger.
Olivia?
Through the speaker to Senator Noble, so just a clarification question on the Nevada CARES legislation, since you talked about how it kind of turned into a suite of pieces. I'm just making sure, like, I'm hearing this right. So the focus of the legislation would be, like, in support of their survivor center, and then along with that, kind of making recommendations along the realms of, like, intimate partner violence and those kinds of things to carry forward?
Yes, thank you for your question, Senator Noe. That is certainly a part of it. That's not the entire picture, though. You are absolutely right. We are also working on the one for DEI as a conjunction bill to that about domestic violence that really does neatly dovetail in with the issue. We're attacking it from both fronts on that way. But in terms of the actual care suite itself, it's more so trying to make good on all of the different provisions of SB 347. So one is designed to support the project that they have going. I believe that there might be another one that tackles a fiscal component about that, although we're not quite sure how we want to approach that yet. And there is consideration of another piece to support broader advocacy once this is implemented so that we can expand this program across the state and across the system. Because, you know, once we have a successful pilot program running here, that is proof that it works and that it helps. And we can grow that from there. We can take it to the Board of Regents or even to the legislature, potentially.
So I've talked to Senator Bowling about this piece a little bit outside of meetings. And when we were talking about the fiscal component, she didn't really know where that money would go towards, if that money was, like, just to help them build part of their office, or if it was to go towards, like, advocacy for students. Just so that everyone here knows, when I spend money in Senate, generally that's student fees, so I want that money to go back to the students, whether that's through scholarships, through giving the money to the endowment, PAC Plaza, like, all the different things we've talked about in the past. So what would the idea behind that be? Yeah, Senator Noble and Senator Fitzpatrick.
You know, basically, as I understand it, what they need from us, because they have the space, that's not a concern. What they need are resources to make it a place that students feel comfortable to do advertisement and promotional materials for that space so that people know about it and feel comfortable using it. Just really things to the logistical nuts and bolts of actually launching this program. Because the thing that Daniel said to me and to us in our meeting was, everyone always says, oh, good job, we love the work that you're doing, but no one's willing to put their money where their mouth is and actually give us some funding to make this project happen. And right now we're scrounging for that. And so I think this is something that would absolutely come back to the students, specifically a very vulnerable group of students that have historically not been supported to the full capacity by our campus. I think Senator Fitzpatrick can expand on that.
So when we talk to them, right now they're on a grant, which is how their employees are getting paid, and they're pretty sure, well, that grant is continuing for the next couple years, and they're already working on grants to follow up with that so that they can continue their program. So one of the things that they really needed funding for was getting their program off the ground, so they have reserved, like, they have space for it, all of those types of things, but, like, couches, rugs, things like that. Also, they had talked a little bit about having an intern, whether like in the psych department or someone who's really passionate about that. We could also add on with like employment of that person. I don't know if that's something they need funding for, but they talked a lot about that when we met. Also, another piece of legislation that's in consideration, which we still need to like discuss with everybody, but maybe adding either like a liaison or amending some job duties, whether that's in Senate or in a different branch, to sort of be that spokesperson for them and be that outreach person for ASUN to Nevada Cares, because that's something that we just want to bridge that gap with between communication, especially if we're going to be putting money into this program. We want to make sure that there's that constant communication and follow through. But I think this is a really good program and definitely something that like the conversation needs to continue with. And I think that it, when enacted, will be a really amazing space for survivors and anybody, really.
Further questions for Senator Noble?
All right, guys. Thank you.
Awesome. That being said, we're going to move on the agenda right back up to reports. Did anyone want to give any last reports or final comments? Cool. Agenda item 8, which is public comment. Is there public comment? All right, seeing none, I'm moving to agenda item 9, which is adjournment. I adjourn this meeting at 11:42 a.m.